Appreciate you being here tonight. Who left me this newspaper on the front bench? Did you do that, Brother Mike? Don't do that no more, Brother Mike. Because I like to look at the choir when they're singing, amen. Man, I read some of that stuff, and that, I never seen that before, brother. I've been telling the church there's hope, and this come out in the New York, and I'd be lost if it come out in the New York Times, wouldn't it? In the Kingsport Times, one nation under God. It even says a verse of scripture, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's what we've had on the sign, and the people he chose for his inheritance. And I want to read something before we get started in the scripture tonight. And all of this is good, but this part under education, it really struck a note in my heart. It said, let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom as the only foundation of all sound knowledge and learning. And seeing the Lord only giveth wisdom, let everyone seriously set himself in by prayer in secret to seek it of him. Everyone shall so exercise himself in reading the scriptures twice a day that he shall be ready to give such an account of his proficiency therein. This was in Harvard in 1636. One of them women's cigarette commercials, I remember when I was a kid, said, we've come a long way, baby. You remember that? Yeah, we've come a long way, but the wrong way. Another one said, all the scholars are required to live a religious and blameless life according to the rules of God's Word, diligently reading the Holy Scriptures, that fountain of divine light and truth, and constantly attending all the duties of religion. This was from Yale in 1787 in the Student Guidelines. A lot different today, ain't it? You can't even, hardly now, I don't know if you pay attention to the news, but somebody with a conservative opinion shows up on the college campus today, he's going to be spit on, beat, throwed out. I'm not even talking about a religious opinion. I mean just somebody that believes conservatively. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah tonight. The gospel according to Isaiah. Amen. Let's stand tonight in reverence to God's word. The book of Isaiah, we're going to start reading in a different place tonight. We're going to start tonight where we left off this morning in our reading. I think we read verse 18 this morning, but that's where we're going to start tonight. The Bible said, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. How is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. Think about the cities in America and the problems they're having today. Thy silver has become dross. Thy wine mixed with water. I believe in typology, that right there is talking about the truth, Brother Steve, is being deluded. Thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. And I want to say tonight, he's still mighty. He's still the God of heaven and the Lord of hosts. Ah, he said, I will ease me of mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. And I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which they have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. You can be seated. Pray with us tonight and pray for us. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight that you'd help me to gather our thoughts, our Lord, tonight, and to be able to speak, our Lord, those things that, God, you put in our heart, and God, help me to be a blessing to these precious people that have gathered here tonight. Lord, I want to pray tonight once again for the trip this week. Ask you to bless our young people. Lord, I really believe that the hope of America, Lord, is in a revival among our young people. Many of our young people in America are seeing the truth, Lord, concerning the little baby in the womb. Many of them are seeing the truth concerning the drug culture. Many of them, our Lord, will be used of God in a mighty way. I pray, Lord, you'll continue to raise up men and women that will stand for the truth. I pray this week, Lord, you'll bless each one of these men. I think about Brother Arthur and Brother Johnny Pope. And Lord, I just praise you for these men and pray, God, that you will just bless them. Lord, I ask you for Brother C.T., God, that you'd give them wisdom. Lord, they're going to have a great prayer time before the meeting each night. I pray, God, you'd meet with them, give them clear direction. Bless Brother Kenny, Lord, as he preaches tomorrow night. God, I pray you'd just get off to a great, great start. And I pray that our God would get all the glory for everything that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Brother Steve was talking about the meeting and praying for the meeting, and the Lord put something in my heart. Brother Steve, you said we'll know next week what God has done, and there's truth in that. There certainly is. But I think sometimes, Brother Steve, we won't know till eternity all the things that God has done. When one life is changed for the glory of God, amen, it makes an eternal difference. Don't y'all believe that? Amen. It doesn't just make a difference in time. Thank God it does make a difference in time. But it'll make a difference in eternity. I praise the Lord for these folks that have given their lives to work with our young people. Tonight, what I want to do is just pick up on the thought where we were this morning. Can America the Beautiful become America in bondage? The answer to that is yes. You remember this morning where we kind of, I guess the title of the message came as I was reading about the fall of the Roman Empire. They said the first step in this book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, the first step towards decline was the undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home. I want to say this tonight. A lot of people got upset when prayer was taken out of the school. Say amen. When I went to elementary school, it was all right. They got on the intercom and prayed from the office. They even read the Bible over the intercom. But I want to make a statement tonight. I believe prayer was taken out of the home a long time before it was taken out of the school. I believe if we had had good, solid homes, amen, that there would have been a raising up or a rising up against that in America. And so in the Roman Empire going down, there was an undermining of the dignity and the sanctity of the home. The second step was in higher and higher taxes and the spending of public money for free bread and circuses for the populace. The third step was the mad craze for pleasure and sports, becoming every year more exciting, more brutal, and more immoral. The fourth step was the building of great armaments when the real enemy was within, the decay of individual responsibility. And the fifth step in the downfall of that great Roman Empire was the decay of religion, fading into mere form, losing touch with life, and losing power to guide the people. Beloved, I believe tonight that it's entirely possible that America's on the same road that Rome went down. But I don't believe it's too late. With God, all things are possible. I believe we ought to pray. I believe we ought to thank God for America. I believe we ought to stand up for the flag and stand up for the freedom that we have. Some or all gave some, and some gave all. Some didn't come back, and some would never be right in their mind again because of the men that they battled with that didn't come back. There are men that spend every waking hour trying to figure out why they got to come home and their buddy didn't get to come home. Amen? I'm telling you, it's a torture. There's a big price been paid for our freedom here in America. We looked this morning at three things. We looked at the rebellion in the chapter. We looked at the remnant in the chapter. The Bible said it was a very small remnant. I've said this before, and I believe God affirmed or reaffirmed this in my heart as I studied this chapter. I've said this before, I believe the only thing that's keeping the judgment hand of God off of America is the remnant of God's people and our stand with Israel. Did you hear me tonight? Listen, I'm glad it may be very small, but I'm glad I'm a part of that remnant. Amen. You see, that very small remnant and God makes a majority. Amen. You're standing on the right side when you're standing with the Lord. And then in this chapter, we saw that the religious exercises, beloved, was not getting the job done. Now tonight, what I'd like to do is go into verse number 18 and the rest of the chapter and just say a few things as God has put on my heart. The last two things that I want to talk about in the chapter is reason and righteousness. Reason and righteousness. For the child of God tonight, the Bible said over in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And then it uses this phrase, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe the will of God is all three of those. It's good, and it's perfect, and it's acceptable. I don't think you get to choose between good and perfect and acceptable. I believe when you're talking about an individual that knows Christ as Savior and being in the will of God, I believe it's good. I believe it's perfect, and I believe it's acceptable unto God. But here in the Bible, when the Bible says in verse number 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. I believe God is talking to a nation that is sinful, a nation that is away from God, a nation that we read in a text a while ago that has forsaken the Lord. The Bible talk about forsaking the fountain of blessing, amen, and forsaking the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, I believe tonight that this verse right here should grab our hearts. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at the reason. What would happen, beloved? I thought about something today, and I don't know why the thought came to my mind. I even looked up some of the details. I'm not real good at remembering, but it was in Georgia. And not too long ago that a woman she got in a fight, and the woman was carrying a baby. And in that fight, she was shot, and she lost the baby. And they brought her up on manslaughter charges because the baby died. And then all of a sudden, the decision was made to drop the case. Now you think about this for just a minute. Think about what I'm about to say. Is it reasonable, beloved, that if a man punches a pregnant woman in the stomach and she loses her baby, that he's brought up on manslaughter charges, but yet that woman, how many knows where I'm going? That same baby, all the way up now, talk to the governor of Virginia. It can be laying there on the table and you still be in a discussion as to whether you're going to keep it or kill it. Is that reasonable? There's no way that's reasonable. Yet God said, come now and let us reason. You say, preacher, that's such a foolish illustration. I say, it's not reasonable. It's not reasonable. Is it reasonable for a nation to have borders? Answer me. Is that something that's reasonable? Citizenship in a country, is that something that's reasonable? I'm just saying this tonight, beloved. Listen to me carefully. We've lost our mind. Is it reasonable to think in any way, shape, or form that the money, the revenue that you would gain from selling alcohol and selling marijuana, is it reasonable to think that you'd get more that way than you're going to have to spend on the other end taking care of people? It's unreasonable. But God, the God of the universe, had come. Let us reason together. Let's talk about some things here, saith the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And I want to say this tonight. You say, preacher, it's unreasonable. The things you've talked about, it's unreasonable. I want to tell you something tonight. Something else that's unreasonable. That's to know the truth of the Word of God and turn away from that truth. The spiritual apostasy that's going on in our land is not spiritual ignorance. There's a difference between being ignorant and being an apostate. When you're an apostate, you face the truth. Right there's the truth. And you willingly turn your back on the truth and walk away from it. That's what apostasy is. It's not being ignorant of the truth. It's turning your back on the truth. You know why they don't want the mothers to see that ultrasound? Because if she sees that ultrasound, she'll see the truth. Help me tonight. Do you know why, beloved, that there's so many that don't believe we should have borders? Because they don't see the truth. Some of them see it and have willingly turned their back on the truth because it's going to benefit them. The Bible talks about right here, reward. That right there. That right there, money. Greed. I believe tonight that God is saying to Isaiah, come. But I believe the most unreasonable thing that a man can do or a woman could do is know that Christ died for our sin according to the Scripture. He was buried, Brother Ralph, and you sang about it tonight in the choir. The third day He rose again according to the Scripture. To know that He loves you. To know that He died for you. To know that He's willing to save you. And yet go away from that is the most unreasonable thing that I can think of in this world. The Bible said, come now. I want you to look at the time right there. God said now. Why would God say now? I'll tell you why, because that's the only guarantee that we have is now. The breath that we have in our body, I've heard my daddy tell this to many people, Brother Rose, as he witnessed to him. He said, the breath you have in your chest is yours. The next one belongs to God. He can give it to you or He can take it away from you. You say, preacher, there's no Bible for that. Read the book of Acts. In Him we live and move and have our being. Yeah. The songwriter said we can't even walk without him holding our hand. I got news for you. We can't even breathe without him. We need him. The children of Israel had turned their back on truth. God extends an invitation to them. He said, don't waste any time. Come now. Come now. The book of Hebrews said, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's what the book of Hebrews says. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring. The book of James over there talked about saying we're going to go out tomorrow and we're going to buy and sell. He said you shouldn't talk like that. What you ought to do is say, the Lord willing. We ought to make plans. Brother Steve, you can't do what you're going to do this week with the young people without making plans. But with God's people, it ought to be different than the people of this world. We ought to include God in our plans. We ought to be seeking his face, seeking his will. Here tonight, the Bible is talking about an invitation to come, to do the reasonable thing. I say that tonight, there were two thieves hanging on each side of Jesus, on either side, the Bible said. A thief over here and a thief over here. Jesus is dying for sin. Every time I think about that, my mind goes back, or many times at least, to that when I had the children's church at Landmark Baptist Church. Brother Larry, I took landscape and timbers and notched them out in the middle and made three crosses. Two just a little bit smaller and one a little bit bigger, and put it a little bit higher on the hill. Took the kids outside. We sat in chairs on the parking lot, and I preached about those three men on those crosses, how that one of those men, he died in his sin. Let me say this. It's unreasonable to die in sin. One man, he died to sin when he looked over and said, Lord, remember me. But thank God the man in the middle died for our sin. It's unreasonable to leave this world without Christ. It's unreasonable to die unsaved. Go to a devil's hell. It's just not reasonable. God said, come now and let us reason together. I wonder when the faculty at Harvard runs across something like that that was said in the 1600s, or the faculty at Yale runs across something was said in the 1700s. I wonder. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe we're living in a land when many consciences have been seared. They have turned their back on the truth. They don't even want the youngins today to learn history, to know anything about history. But I'm telling you this. God put this Old Testament here for us. It was not written to us, but it was written for us. For our admonition, for our learning. Let me say this tonight. Somebody said the wise man learns from his mistakes. Let me tell you, a wiser man, he can learn from the mistakes of others. He don't have to make them himself. Chance likes to throw a baseball. He does good at it. A little better at hitting until they throw him a curveball. But anyway, he'll get over that. Amen. And I'll guarantee you, in his high school years, he's already saw somebody throw their arm out because they weren't. I remember you telling me when you pulled a hamstring, you couldn't put your body into it the way you're supposed to when you pitch it. And so if you can't put your body into it, what you do is you try to do it all with your arm. And it ain't long, your shoulder's falling off, ain't it, Chance? A wise man don't have to make that mistake if he watches somebody else make it. A wise man learns from his mistakes, but a wiser man learns from the mistakes of others. Let me say something to you tonight. There's not a parent in this room that's perfect. Now listen to me. There's two attitudes in parenting. One is, well, they're young. They need to sow their wild oats. I'm going to tell you something. That attitude don't come from God. A parent that's got any God about them at all does not want their youngins to make the same mistakes that they made. You know why? Because they don't want their youngins to carry the scars that they're carrying. Yes, God can save us. Yes, God can forgive us. But honey, the scars will be there till Jesus comes. The scars of sin. God said, come. Come. Don't put it off. Come now and let us reason together. I see the time. But I see the together. The two together. Let us. There's two that get together. That's God and man. And beloved, let me say this to you. I believe what Brother Brian said that morning was right. He said, I had to take sides with God against myself. Beloved, when you're able to do that, business is picking up. When you realize that your sin is not just against you, and it's not just against your friends, it's not just against your family, but your sin is against God. That's what David realized. He said, against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Then you realize it's just two, you and him. And the reasonable thing is for you and him to get to a place of agreement. And let me just say this. You can argue with him till he comes, but he's not changing his mind about sin. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I think about the Bible said, though your sins be as scarlet, there's a trade in this text. They shall be as snow, as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Aren't you glad that you can trade your sin for his righteousness? You can come to him. You can be saved. It's the reasonable thing to do. For the Christian, the reasonable thing, the reasonable service is be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'll say this tonight. I've said this for years. The newspaper's not going to renew your mind. Amen. CNN, Fox News, I don't care, CNB, whatever, C. They're not going to renew your mind. This is the only thing right here that's going to cause you to think like God. Think like God thinks about your sin. Think like God thinks about your service. Think God like God thinks about your life. The truth. Watch this now. He said in verse number 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. There's a big if right there. America has an if. God said, if my people, there it started with an if. 2 Chronicles 7:14, I believe it is, if my people, which are called by my name, God's not calling on the heathen in America to pray because they don't have access to the throne of God. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. That's not talking about barroom people. That's talking to God's people. Amen.
Amen.
We can have revival. But as I said this morning, judgment must first begin at the house of God. We need to get our hearts clean, thoroughly clean. I was getting ready to do dishes a while ago up at the shelter. And I try to take a dishcloth unless I know Sister Jerry's coming, then I just leave the dishes for her to do. She does a better job than me anyway. But I try to take that washcloth and hang it over the sink in such a way that it'll dry. Because nobody wants to do dishes with a rotten rag. Say amen. And I hadn't been up there in a while, Sister Jerry. So when I picked that, you probably hung it there the last time. But when I picked it up, the first thing I did was smell of it. How do we smell tonight? In the nostrils of God. that we bring forth a sweet savor. Amen. That's what we're supposed to do. Is that right? He wants to use us. He wants to bless us. I believe he wants to bless us worse than we want to be blessed. An unsaved man, he wants to save him worse than he wants to be saved. And yet, he said, come now and let us reason. The truth is this. Look at verse 19. If you be willing and obedient, it's going to go well for you. You're going to eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord, Brother Ralph, that's not the mouth of the preacher, not the mouth of the church. That's the mouth of the Lord. He said, if you be willing and obedient. See, the Bible said obedience is better than sacrifice. Even this chapter talks about it. You remember, I believe it was Saul that went out there and he was supposed to kill everything. And was it Samuel said, what's that I hear? The lowing of the cattle. Oh, he said, we saved the best for God. He said, no, to obey is better than sacrifice. God wants us to obey him. Guess what? Every child of God can obey him. He said, come now. Let us reason together. Come right now. The time is now. Get together with God. The truth is, if we're willing and obedient, he'll bless us. But if we refuse and rebel, he'll break us. Say amen. America has a choice. America can be blessed, or America can be broken. America thinks she can't be devoured. Honey, I got news for you. She can be devoured. We need the Lord. I pray that that day will come soon where we'll realize. You take, listen to me tonight. In comparison to what the Assyrians were doing to Israel and what they wanted to do to Judah, listen to me carefully. In comparison, 9/11 was a picnic. Those were brutal. The Assyrians were brutal people. All I'm trying to tell you is this. When 9/11 happened, all of a sudden, we need to come together as a nation. All of a sudden, Brother Thurman, people were requesting prayer everywhere. Churches filled up everywhere. Because they understood we're vulnerable. And I always thought there was a danger in not admitting that. And a danger in taking our refuge in our strength, in our might, in our military. The Bible speaks of that in the Bible about the horses. Don't put your confidence in your horses. Put your confidence in the Lord. What Israel did in that six-day war was not because Israel was something. It's because Israel's God was something. Many of you men are sitting here today and you made it back from over yonder not because you're something, but because your God is something. And your God heard your mama's prayer. Amen. America, the beautiful. It can become America in bondage. How we need to pray that that does not happen. The last thing in the chapter, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I'll just touch on it and we'll close. It's righteousness. The Bible said in verse number 26, I will restore thy judges as at the first and thy counselors as at the beginning. What if some things in our country, now listen, I'm not talking about going back to horse and buggy. I'm talking about the things pertaining to God, the things pertaining to God's Word. Years ago, the first church I pastored, I was pastored at Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia, and a man was standing on the parking lot flipping his keys on his finger like that. We were standing there talking, and I told this man about a man that had given me a computer, and I had a Bible program on it. I said, brother, it's just it's awesome. You can type in a Hebrew word, a Greek word. You can look it up in that Strong's Concordance. I mean, it's all right there. You can look it up real easy. You can look up, if you can just remember a part of a verse, just a phrase, you can find it. He said, I don't know about all this modern stuff, preacher. That's what he said. And I said, well, brother, I think God's pleased if I can look at 200 verses in the time that it used to take me to look at 20. I said, I think God's all right with that. And I don't know about this modern stuff, preacher. His name was Gary. I said, Brother Gary, let me see your keys. He said, what do you want my keys for? I said, oh, come on, just toss them to me. Let me see them. He reluctantly tossed them to me. I stuck them in my pocket. I said, I believe it be the will of God for you to walk home. There's nothing wrong with us building railroads and building bridges and building roads and having airplanes. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is thinking that we can have a country without God. There's something wrong with that. Thinking that we can have freedom without faith. There's something wrong with that. Thinking that we can have blessings without obedience. There's something wrong with that. God deserves glory. God desires glory. And God is determined. One day he'll get glory. Every knee is going to bow, Brother Rose. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Righteousness. That's what God wants in a nation. The right thing. Righteousness. The reasonable thing. The reasonable thing. I believe that in our country, there's a remnant that knows what's right, that wants what's right, what's good for their children, for their grandchildren. But I believe, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I believe there are some that are hell-bent on the destruction of our country. The president said something a while back. I appreciate the spirit in which he said it, but he can't guarantee it, neither can anyone else. He said America will never be a communist nation. And I'm going to tell you, I hope and pray he's right. I hope and pray he's right. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If America never becomes a communist nation, it won't be because of a president. It would be because of the God of heaven that continues to smile on a remnant of people. I believe with all my heart, America is just a few decisions, from captivity, from being in bondage. Israel got too big for her britches. Judah got too big for her britches. And in America, we need to be careful that we don't get too big for our britches. Brother Larry, I believe a lot of preachers have gotten too big for their britches. What I mean by that is they've gotten to a place where they think they can do it without God. I don't believe we ought to think we can sing without God, preach without God, do anything without God. He wants to be in the middle of the very fiber of our being. I'm just glad you come tonight.